Hi there and welcome to Garden Church Podcast. We're excited that you've tuned in to hear a message from one of our team. I know that you'll be encouraged in your faith and challenged to live for God. We pray that you'll encounter Jesus in new and fresh ways as you listen to this podcast. God has got something great for you.
Today we're going to come around the Word of God and we're going to speak some powerful truths today that the Word of God speaks to us. We're going to have three amazing women come and share with us today some truths from the Word of God that are going to bless you today. I know it's going to bless you so much. In Psalm 78, it says this, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob and gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." So this morning we're going to come around these truths, the Word of God, which never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know your heart's just going to be so blessed as you hear these truths from God today. Church, we're going to welcome today, we're going to hear from Georgia, Heidi, and Vic at the very end today. So would you welcome them as they come up and share these amazing truths from God this morning?
Thank you. Amazing. What a privilege. What a privilege. It's just been a beautiful day. I'm very grateful that I get to celebrate on Mother's Day. I have beautiful mums in my life, a lot of them, if you know my story, and I'm very grateful for that, very grateful to be here. Funny moment from my Mother's Day this morning, Caleb gave me this beautiful card and it was really lovely. It was one that had confetti stuffed in it, which was really awesome. And I think with those cards, when you get them, you're supposed to put like the fold of the card at the bottom of the envelope so that when you pull it out, the confetti doesn't all fall out. And he put it around the other way so the open end was facing down, if you can picture that. And I pulled it out and I was like, "Oh, doll, I think you're supposed to put it the other way." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I kind of, you know, I did it in a bit of a rush with three kids hanging off me." And I was like, "Oh, so you did it like a mum." And he goes, "No, if I did it like a mum, I would have done it right with three kids hanging off me." I was like, "That's the truth. Amen." But I thought that was funny. I thought, as I thought about, you know, a truth to share from the Word and something that I would want to share with others and especially share with my own children, of which I have three and I'm obsessed with them, I couldn't help but think of a key and recurring truth that I've read in the Word and that I've known to be true in my own life, and a truth that has served as a reminder when I've needed it, that has shifted my perspective when I've needed that as well, and that has, at the core of me, strengthened my faith. And the truth is this, that God is faithful. Thank you, Lord. Have you ever watched someone walk through a difficult season and seen them receive the breakthrough at the end of that season? Or have you personally walked a journey and somehow felt as though you've come out the other side despite the outcome? What's the common thread in a testimony like this? There's many things, but whether it's a breakthrough in health or finance or relationships or a spiritual breakthrough, what can you hold on to? At times, not much else but the faithfulness of God. That is, the knowledge that he always keeps all his promises. Being Mother's Day, I wanted to give a quick shout out to and honour some of the significant women in my life. That's my mum, my stepmums, my aunties, my sisters, my beautiful friends, my two incredible daughters. You are all amazing. I love you and I'm so grateful that you are the colour in the tapestry of my life. And I also wanted to honour my beautiful mother-in-law. She's not who you think of when you think of a mother-in-law, and we've taken it upon ourselves to rewrite the narrative of the stereotypical mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship. I'm convinced she is the world's best mother-in-law. I love her dearly. She often listens to the podcast, and I don't say that because she often listens, but if you are listening, Mum, I love you. I'm so grateful for you. And even as I was preparing earlier this morning, she was messaging me and encouraging me about this morning and wishing me a happy Mother's Day, and what a gift that she's also sharing the Word of God at her church this morning. That just felt like such a privilege to be sharing that with her this morning. But my beautiful mother-in-law stands out as someone in my life who has constantly reminded me of the faithfulness of God. She's a wife, she's a mother, she's been serving the Lord in ministry most of her life. And on top of that, she's got 31 years worth of cheat codes for my husband. So I feel that she understands me on a level that no one else really does. She understands the joys, the fears, the pressure points, and over the years she shared story after story of the ways that God has shown himself faithful to her, stories that I can relate to and that have encouraged me. It's like she's the case study of evidence that whenever I'm going through something and need a little reassurance, she's like, look at all the ways that God has shown himself faithful to me, and look at all the ways he's come through. He is faithful, he's done it for me, and he will do it for you. Coincidentally, I really started to take note of some of the major experiences of God's faithfulness in my life around the time that Caleb and I got together, which was nearly 12 years ago. And can you see the correlation? When I got to know my mother-in-law a little better was when I really started to recognize how just wonderful God has been to me. Caleb and I had a beautiful start to our relationship. We were so blessed during our engagement and our wedding planning and our early years of marriage, and when we decided to start a family and when we found our home, and all the while serving God in ministry along the way. And through so many moments when we'd done all we could to prepare, when we we've brought our little and we really just were trusting God with the rest, he never let us down. And even when it didn't always happen according to my plan A, which was documented very specifically in a very ordered plan, he always made a way. But the faithfulness of God is not just something that I've heard through these amazing testimonies from my mother-in-law, or even experienced in my own life. It's a truth that is rooted in the Word of God. And you'll read it over and over again. Psalm 105 says, "For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and the faithfulness and his faithfulness for all generations." Psalm 117:2, "For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." And in Exodus 34:6, it says, "The Lord passed before him," him being Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" I'm so grateful to read over and over again in the Word and to hear testimonies of the faithfulness of God, because it's our human nature to forget. We can be riding a high when God comes through and so quickly spiral into fear and worry when things start to get shaky. But let me remind you today, as I've been reminded so many times in my life, that the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. You can trust him with your life, with your future, with your children and your family. This is a truth that has shaped the story of my life and my family, and is surely something I will constantly remind my children as they grow, that he who has promised is faithful. Amen to that. I get the privilege to introduce one of my beautiful friends who is going to just share so beautifully. Heidi, I'd love to welcome you. We'll give her a hand as she joins me this morning. Can't wait to hear your heart this morning, Heidi.
Beautiful. Oh, that was so beautiful. God's faithfulness never gets old, does it? Well, my name is Heidi, if you don't know me already, and what an honor it is to be here this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mums. I hope you enjoyed your burnt breakfast and handmade delights from your children. I know I did. And I just wanted to say that I am a mom of three beautiful children, and I have loved motherhood. It has been the most wild ride I've ever been on, and I've loved most of it. and, you know, as I was thinking through this and reflecting on the truths about God, there was just so many. It was actually really hard to choose. And the one that settled in my heart is that God will always finish what he starts. And I'm so thankful for that, and I'm sure you are too. And you know, all through the Bible, there's different, or in the New Testament specifically, there's different words for Jesus. You know, he's called Rabbi, he's called Teacher, he's called the Good Shepherd, but he's also called the Author and the Finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the Author and Finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He's the Author and the Finisher. And you know what? He's the author of our stories too. I love the image of him being an author because I love to read and because I love to write, but because it's deeply personal. He's writing each one of our stories. And there's a few truths that I know to be true. I know that he's there in the beginning. Oh, I didn't expect emotions, but you know what? He has been there in the beginning. He has loved you before you were born. I don't know if you've heard these words before, but if you haven't, he knit you together in your mother's womb. He was there from the very beginning. He picked up that pen and he wrote your story. And I just wanted to remind you today to just let him have that pen. Don't wrestle. Try to take it away from him. Just let him have that authority in your life to write your story. He's got this, guys. The other thing that I know to be true is that he's there in the middle. And the middle is often the messiest part, isn't it? He's there in the middle of our mess. And I love that the verse says in Hebrews 12:2, like I just read, that he despises shame. And I just felt to say that, you know, one truth that I really want my kids to know is that nothing will ever separate them from the love of God. And that shame comes in when we've done something or we haven't done something, and that can easily take root. But Jesus despises that shame. And I just wanted to say, if you have stories in your life that you feel shame about, you know, that he can actually rewrite your story. All through the Bible, he actually rewrote stories. So you take somebody like Rahab, who was a prostitute, and he actually rewrote her story, and he transformed her life, and she ended up being the grandmother of the Messiah all through the lineage. You take somebody like Moses, who was full of fear and really couldn't even speak properly, and God used his voice, how beautiful, specifically his voice, to transform an entire nation. You've got somebody like Saul in the Bible. God changed his name to Paul. He was literally a murderer. God changed his entire life, and he was one of the people who led the most people to Christ in the New Testament. It's incredible that God can actually rewrite your story. So today, I just wanted to say to somebody in the room, lay down that shame. You don't need to carry it. He can rewrite your stories, and he can make them even more beautiful than you ever could have expected. And the other thing that I know that is true is that he's there in the end. I'm a procrastinator. Anybody else in the room a procrastinator? I see those hands, those sneaky hands. Yeah, I'm a procrastinator, but the beautiful thing is that God isn't. He's literally the finisher. You can trust him with your life. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ." He is literally writing your story, and he will finish it. And today, I hope that you can carry that confidence in your heart that he's got your story. He was there from the beginning, he's there in the middle, and he's there in the end. And let me just pray for you. I just feel to pray. God, I just thank you for each person in this room. God, I thank you that you know their stories, Father. I thank you that you've known them from the beginning. God, as you knit them together in their mother's womb, God, you've seen the times where they've carried shame. God, I just pray for each person in this room that they can just release that right now. God, I thank you that you are going to finish each person in their room stories better than they ever could have expected. I thank you, Father, for your unending faithfulness. In your name, amen. And I would love, she's right behind me. This is classic Vic style. She will always overachieve. All right. Love you, Vic. Here you go.
Give it up for Georgia and Heidi. I'm a timekeeper, so I wanted to keep on time. Heidi, would you like to read mine? Because your accent is so much prettier. I grew up in Queensland. So anyway,
I'm Victoria. Nice to meet you. Good morning, church. And when I think about Psalm 78, verse 4, and what truths I will tell my children about God, the first thing that comes to mind is that God is trustworthy. That God is trustworthy. Isn't there a beautiful theme this morning amongst us three? We didn't plan that. I have actually been studying and meditating on God's trustworthy nature in Scripture all year. There is nothing like the Word of God. There is no good advice that compares to it. Amen? So here are some thoughts from the Word of God that I have learned about His trustworthiness. And the very first thing is that He is trustworthy. Not only does Scripture say that He is, but it also shows that He is. He is good at His Word. And from the beginning to the end of the Bible, we see His trustworthy nature. I've seen it in my own life, and I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, which says, "The Lord Himself goes before you, and He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." In Psalm 56, verse 3, it says that when we are afraid, not if, it says when. It says when we are afraid, we are to put our trust in Him. You know, trust is actually in Scripture requested, and it is also commanded by God. It's confronting because it actually speaks to it being our choice to trust. It's actually our decision to trust. So we don't trust because of our environment, our surroundings, or because of any circumstances. We trust because of who is asking us to do it. Humbly before Him, we go, "Yes, Lord, I choose to trust You." We also trust because who's with us when we trust, and it's a God. So it's a choice, and it's also a learned behavior. Human nature, our natural leaning is towards fear, anxiety, and worry. That's where we naturally go. So I want to ask you this morning, if life's events have caused those things, and it's a natural reaction to life's events sometimes, but if it is daily and if it is ongoing in your life that you have a predisposition to fear, worry, and anxiety, I believe that God wants to pull that out of your life and replace it with His trustworthy nature, that you can trust in Him. Do you know, I'm learning trust in new levels this year. And I wrote in my journal in February, I'm learning how to ride the bike called trust, not trusting in my own ability, because sometimes I like to do that. I'll just work harder and fix it myself, but not trusting in my own ability with all the hard parts of life, but just doing my best and trusting that He will come through. I'm learning how to ride the bike called trust. And I wanted to show you a picture this morning of when I really did learn how to ride a bike. And so that's me back in the 90s. And I'm fairly certain every childhood photo of my dad, he has no shirt on. So sorry, Dad. But this is me, and I wanted to show you this picture because this is how God teaches us how to ride new bikes. You know, He's got His arms around us. He's kissing us on the cheek while we wobble, and we sometimes fall over and we don't want to do it and we're a little bit scared and we just, you know, we're like, I'm not very good at this. It's okay, because we have a loving Heavenly Father that wraps His arms around us and kisses us on the cheek while we stuff up through this life. Because of what He did on the cross, He's able to, you know, help us learn how to ride bikes like that. And then the next photo is when I actually did learn how to ride a bike. And isn't this the most beautiful image? Like the little training pole is gone and I'm riding down the streets in Brisbane. And there's my loving Father running behind me. And that is the God that we serve, guys. So if you aren't trusting Him right now, would you choose and position yourself in a place of trust? Do you know, when I feel myself failing in a cycle of fear, worry, and doubt, I've been trying my best to change my language from all the things that are going wrong. Instead, I'm quoting Scripture. So when I feel outnumbered, I remind myself in 2 Kings 6:16 that the enemy is outnumbered by the angel of heaven's armies, and greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And this is the things I start to say over my home and over my situation. When I feel attacked, I remind myself of 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3 that says that God Himself will protect me. When I feel stuck in a situation, I remember in Isaiah 43:18 that we serve a God who's always doing something new. When I'm short on time, money, energy, I remember that Philippians 4 verse 19 says that He will provide everything I need. When I'm desperate, I cry out to God like Moses did. I'm like, "Lord, help me." And I reread Exodus 15:25, where He came through in the most unusual way. When I'm overwhelmed, instead of giving Jesse a play-by-play of my difficult day where everything went wrong, I've started saying to Jesse, "I can't wait to see the end of this story and what God does." And I say to him, "I can't wait to see how He makes this crooked path straight," just like He did in Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. I've started saying things, "I'm looking forward to seeing what God does here," because trust is a decision and it is a choice and it's a positioning. And so I can't wait to share the testimony of all the hard things we're going through, church. I can see it in the future that God is faithful. He finishes what He starts and He is trustworthy. And that is the truth about hymn this morning. Let me finish with Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8, as Pastor Amy comes up to close this morning. It says this, "But blessed is the one who trusts in God." That's you guys. Blessed are the ones who trust in God, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots in the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Hallelujah. Their leaves will always be green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. Why, church? And can I encourage you, church, to put your roots down deep into a stream of trusting in God, not in man, not in the things of this world, but trusting in God, because no matter what life throws, when the droughts come, you will flourish and you will bear fruit. And so if you have been overcome by worry, anxiety, or fear, it's a beautiful morning just to repent. To repent and apologize to God and be like, "Lord, I'm sorry. I do it. I'm sorry I let this situation get bigger than you in my mind. I place you back in the highest place. Would you teach me how to ride this bike called trust? I trust you again, and I fortify my heart with your promises that God is trustworthy." Amen. Amen. Awesome. Give it up for the word of God this morning.
Wonderful. Amazing truths this morning. Church, just as we finish today, can I just ask everyone to bow their heads? We're going to just take a moment today to pray, and the team can come back up today. You know, as the girls have shared today about the truth of God's word, maybe there's something in those truths that has struck home to you, and you've said, "You know what, I need to come back to those truths, that God is faithful, that he finishes what he starts, and that he is trustworthy." Maybe even this morning, you need to say in your heart, "Jesus, I'm coming back to you today. I'm putting all of my trust in you. I'm putting all of my faith in you." In fact, this morning, I'd love to give you an opportunity to respond today. If you have been far from God today, to be able to come back into the faithful, loving, trustworthy, always finish what he starts arms of God. Today, if that's you, I'd love you to just pray this prayer along with me today. In fact, church, could we all pray this today and stand with those who are coming back to Jesus today? Would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I'm coming back to you today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Today, I commit my life back into your hands. Be my Lord and Savior. In your precious name, amen. Amen. Amen.
How good was that message? I know that you would have been blessed. Garden Church is a flourishing, life-giving church based on the Northern Rivers of New South Wales. We have a passionate commitment to see you make a difference in your world, thrive in community, and most importantly, connect you to Jesus. Visit our website, gardenchurch.com, for more details of ministries, our heart, and even some great resources to empower your life. Be blessed. Go and be life-giving.